Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you so much for the Word of God. Father, I thank you for Christmas. You know, no matter how they color it, Christmas is a time that it stirs the nest. It lets everybody know that there was a Redeemer that had come. Whether they agree with Christmas or not, Jesus is in their face during these holidays. And we like to be a witness or a testimony of it. And so we thank you, Lord. Whether it's on the day you were born or not, I don't know. But Father, we know that it's symbolic of the birth of that wonderful babe in a manger some 2,000 years ago. And we thank you so much for the coming of Jesus and the purpose of his coming, Father. That he was you made manifest in flesh to literally reveal what you're all about, Father. To reveal your heart towards mankind and to bring a salvation that many of us don't really understand. So today, Father, as I serve the Word of God to your people, may it be the greatest gift in their understanding that they've ever had today. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, did I cover everything I was supposed to? Okay, today, we're going to talk about the true meaning of Christmas. Boy, isn't that original. You know, a lot of us, whether you realize it or not, you know the church as a whole doesn't really know the true meaning of Christmas. Why we had to have that little babe in the manger. How many of you have been watching the History Channel and some of these channels about Jesus and following the footsteps of Jesus? Thought it was very interesting, you know. I like this one program. They concluded that Christmas is valid. I really thought that was neat, you know. Praise God. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Romans chapter 3. You know, it's funny how no matter where you turn, you know, whether it's on television or whether it's on radio, you notice they have this great conflict that's going on all the time. Whether we should acknowledge Christmas as a holiday season or actually as Christmas. And so some people don't really want to acknowledge Christmas. They want to acknowledge holidays. I actually heard, now this, I'm not going to tell you who this came from, but I actually heard one minister literally say we need to respect all faiths. You know? We need to be careful to respect all faiths. Well, if that's the case, then we're just one of the faiths, or are we the faith? Yes, and you know, a lot of people say that Christians are narrow-minded about some things. We have to be narrow-minded about some things, and the reason that we have to be narrow-minded about things is because we have the only way to eternity. You know, whether we like it or not, what it boils down to is if you can't accept the narrow way, then you accept the broad way. And when you accept the broad way, it says many go through that avenue. Many go through it. But there's only one way, and that's Jesus. Amen. If you believe in redemptive rights, redemption can only come through the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, in John chapter 9, I think it is, it says that any man tries to come any other way into the kingdom of heaven is a thief and a robber. In other words, you can't sneak your way in. You can only come one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. If you do not believe in the new birth, then you will not go to heaven. I don't care how sweet you are in the natural. It doesn't matter if you're not born of the Spirit of God. Then anything that you perform or anything that you do is not spawned by the Spirit of God, then you're none of His. And, you know, that's a real reality that many of us need to understand. You know, not that we want to bring judgment into the world, but Jesus came that there might be judgment in the world, that there might be a difference. Did you know that? You know, some people say, well, Jesus would not have been that way about things. But Jesus said, I come into the world because of judgment. See, he had to bring an understanding of what is right from what is wrong. And so today we're gonna get into some very interesting things that I think will help you. to understand the importance of Jesus having to come. So let's start with Romans chapter 3. Let's start with verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongue they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Isn't that interesting? For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God is without the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Wow. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now notice verse 24. This is very important to understand. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, do you know what we just read? You know what these verses have just told us? It's giving us a clear indication or a clear understanding that apart from Jesus Christ, man is hopeless within himself for anything. Especially to be redeemed from judgment. Man's not capable of it. Let's go on. This gets very interesting. He says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Notice this, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, do you know what he just said? How many of you know what he just said? Can I see your hands? How many do not know what he just said? Can I see your hands? How many of you have brought confusion to me because you had no reaction? It's almost like you're afraid to make a commitment here. We need to understand. No, I'm not trying to trick question you. I'm just trying to read you scripture and then hoping you understand what was just said. Here's what was just said. First of all, when we started reading these verses, it says that mankind is what he is by nature. I meant he has no fear of God. He opens his mouth and says what he wants to. There is no way that's the right way when mankind comes. And so God had to give law to make mankind understand what is violating his relationship with God. Right? Then he said that seeing how he gave that law or that understanding to us, he says he didn't even expect mankind to even keep the law, because the righteousness of God came apart from law freely. You know what that means? Because of the condition of fallen man, Through one man's disobedience, many were brought to spiritual death. They didn't know God. They had no fear for God. They were what they were. But God provided our salvation for them in spite of them freely. Amen. Now we're listening about people saying, I heard this one guy on the radio make this statement that it just pierced my heart. Because he's cursing the very thing that is the greatest blessing in his life. He said, I'm so tired of this Christian dogma that has just gotten into our society. And then he makes a statement that John Lennon had the song correct. Imagine. There would be no heaven. Imagine there would be no hell. Just unity of brotherhood, and we'd all dwell. Highly satanic. Highly satanic. Because there is no perfect environment for falling man. You want to know why? The nature of fallen man came from the heart of the devil himself. And this devil doesn't know what peace is. He offers a false peace for mankind. He tells mankind they're better off without a God. They're better off without a devil. They're better off just dwelling in unity and harmony together. Impossible with that nature. You know, you can tame a wild lion or a leopard or a cat. You know, you can tame them. But if they have a bad day, you're their lunch. That was already proven by these two guys that had these tigers, you know. And one day, just had a bad day, and the tiger started chomping on him. Why? Because the nature cannot be controlled by anything. It has no regard for mankind, and it certainly has no regard for God. He's called the unjust judge. And that nature, if it controls your life, eventually it'll kill your desire for the things of God. But if God's nature is developed in you and grows in you, then your desire for God will grow even more and more. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to bless all of you. God not only provided a means for all mankind, but He provided a redemption you can do. He gave the law so that men would be aware of what is against God. But He told very clearly to humanity that even though He gave the law, He couldn't even intend for man to keep that law apart from Jesus Himself. Wow. Then if while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Then why have a need to overcome sin? It seemed like we could continue in sin that God may be glorified in Jesus for providing redemption for us in spite of us. And Paul said that kind of thinking is God forbidden. You want to know why? Because most people don't understand what it means to be born again and to receive the redemptive works of Christ freely. They don't understand what grace is. They don't understand what mercy is. Mercy, even though God extends it towards a believer, that is not God's will for your life. God's will for your life is not mercy. God's will for your life is grace. You obtain mercy because of God's nature, but He wants you to live in His grace. Well, what is grace? Well, Jesus paid the price for your entrance into the kingdom of heaven. But He could not pay the price for your right to choose the opposite. So He had to perform something in such a way that you could get to know Him. And guess what? To walk in His grace is to move towards knowing Him. Now, if mercy didn't come in there somewhere, we wouldn't work out the fullness of His grace. But we have accepted mercy as a way for a believer, but really, grace is a way for the believer. Mercy is just something that we receive anyway, even though God doesn't want to extend it to us, because mercy can even be a form of rebellion. And then it turns to mercy. You've heard the old saying, I throw myself on the mercy of the court. Well, why? Because grace is in it. Now, I want to say some things today that I hope it will really clear up your understanding about God's love towards humanity. And while they were yet sinners, Christ died. But we read here how he provided redemption for from a race that didn't know anything. And I want to tell you something. Did you know that it was not God's perfect will for us to be in the state that we are now presently in? You know, that wasn't God's first intention. God's first intention was that man receive life. And so God gave man life. And he wanted everything to spawn off of that life. He never intended for man to be where he is today. God intended for man to be very successful in all that God created for man. He didn't create it for the devil and his bunch. He created it for mankind. But we have an outlaw. His name is Satan. And that's why if you understand all the scriptures that talk about redemption being planned before the foundation of the world, the Greek word for foundation there is cast down or overthrown world. There was a world previous to Adam and Eve's world. The scriptures are very clear on that. You will not find one scripture that says that redemption was planned in dateless times past, before even an age began. You won't find it. You will always find the word for salvation from the cast down or overthrown world. Did you know that when Satan approached Adam and Eve in the garden, are you ready? He was already a fallen being. When Satan approached Adam and Eve in the garden, Jesus had already witnessed his demise, because he said, I saw him cast out of heaven as a bolt of lightning to the earth. That was before Adam and Eve. His name was Lucifer, light bearer. It means that he was the anointed cherub that covereth. He had an anointing. He had sanctuaries in this earth. We don't know to what extent that first world was, and I don't really care. Jesus said he'll show us when we get into eternity that first world. But he says it's not important for us now. But one thing is important, that God never planned for man to fall so that man would grow out of evil. You want to know why? Because there's no evil in God. And what God doesn't have, he can't give. Now, do you know why God chose redemption after that first fall? To protect mankind. Because he knew that when he developed Adam and Eve, they had to be free to choose. Because God wanted mankind in relationship. God did not want to serve eternity with no relationships at all. But what he creates in heaven, that would have been sufficient for God. But God would not be complete in his fellowship unless he could fellowship with something that had the freedom to choose to fellowship with him. How would you like to be stuck with somebody you don't want to be stuck with? Some of you might already be experiencing that. Maybe with relatives, friends, not your mate. Isn't that correct? Some of us not in the most comfortable position. And we seem to think that God wants you into the third heaven in spite of you not wanting to be there. What kind of God is that? Oh, so you don't want to be here. As far as God's concerned, you don't have to be. All as God is responsible for is to make sure that everyone has the right to choose freedom. Because God is what he is. But he has to leave that up to mankind, and he can never infringe on that. Do you know why he said when Adam and Eve fell? You know what the first thing God said? And when I first said it, I was shocked. I couldn't believe that Adam and Eve had literally become as the Godhead. Because they made this statement, "Behold, look, man has become as one of us." That boggled my mind. Why would God say, "Man has become as one of us"? I got to thinking, well, in the fall of Adam and Eve, in the fall of Adam and Eve, that would qualify them to become as the Godhead? Then what's wrong with the fall? Have you ever thought about that? "Behold, man has become as one of us." Knowing, no, are you ready? Knowing good and evil. You know what that meant? It meant Adam and Eve, before the fall, didn't know what good and evil is. Because good and evil comes with knowledge. God, when He spoke out of my spirit, the full impact of that statement, I was stunned. I walked around just stunned for a long time. When He said, "Man has become one of us, knowing good and evil," literally, Adam and Eve were in a state of innocence. And then when they had taken the fall, they knew now they had the freedom to be as God, to choose their destiny eternally. Did you get that? You know, God is. Therefore, when He chooses, it's right. Is that not right? Do you know God does not exist against His will? He exists because His will has chosen what is right. Why? His nature. And apart from God, if man has a way of exalting another nature above God's nature, then he will begin to walk with God in the knowledge of what is good and what is evil. You know what a man is? That tree is in both of us, good and evil. And it's not saying divine good versus evil. It's talking about someone who has chosen religion, taking a religious thought that's good and incorporating it in with what is evil. And that kind of knowledge won't get you to heaven. You got to kill it. You got to kill that tree. Are you following what I'm saying? And the only way you can kill that tree is that God has to give you a new nature in order for the Holy Spirit to work on your heart, predicated on that nature that is in you. And there's no other way you can know God but by that nature within you. And you, it is up to you by the Word of God to develop that inward nature. And the Holy Spirit is given to that nature to cause you to come to maturity. And that is the purpose of salvation. So that all mankind would inherit the nature of God apart from the nature of Adam. So that you would have a chance to go on into maturity for the eternal life. Behold, they have become as one of us. They have become as gods in the fact that now they can choose their eternal destiny. And I'm going to tell you something. In the fallen nature, that's not the place to be. Because now mankind, from the loins of Adam on, are born into this world by that fallen nature. Go over to Romans chapter 5. And let's go to verse 8. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth His love towards us. Are you ready? In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Boy, this leaves out the sovereignty of God. What we're about ready to go into is going to leave out the understanding of the sovereignty of God. God will do whatever He pleases. Well, you can't use these scriptures. Because these scriptures literally put the responsibility of what man chooses to do on his own. Not because God picks and chooses. Here it is. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How many of you heard the statement, if I was the only one that would accept him, he would go to the cross? That is a bald-faced lie. God went to the cross whether anyone would accept him or not, because that was his nature. And if there was only one person, and that was you, that needed salvation, God would have went to the cross whether you received him or not, because the only way he can judge you to eternal damnation is that, first of all, he has to make a way of escape for you so you don't have to be judged. Or else he can't judge you. How do you think that he's going to stand at the great white throne and bring judgment on mankind when he never made provision for mankind, because he got Romans chapter 3 that tells us mankind didn't know any better. So God had to make a provision for mankind so that he could bring judgment on mankind. I heard the testimony of a man saying that one thing Jesus hates, and he said Jesus laid in his arms and cried and said he hates the day when he has to bring judgment on all mankind. Nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus looks forward to that day because he will be justified in judging whomever is at the great white throne. He hated judging the Old Testament believers because they were in a state of ignorance. But from the time of Christ on, they're not in ignorance. Now, in Romans 5, let's read on. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That means if you don't have him, you're not going to be saved through wrath. Now notice this. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom now we have now received the atonement. Wrong. Literally, it's the reconciliation. Atonement means to cover something. That's an Old Testament word. Reconciliation means those who were purchased or bought back from the enemy. Now notice this. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and notice this, death through sin, not by sin, but through sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In the Greek it's inasmuch as all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death still reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come, which is Jesus. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, or actually died, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now we'll stop there, and I need to explain that out. This chapter is telling us, it's given agreement to chapter 3, that mankind, apart from Jesus or apart from the knowledge of God, didn't understand God. They were what they were because that was their nature. Why? Because they were born out of the loins of Abraham. But God then provided redemption for the whole world. Not because he picked and chose some. Amen. But He provided it for the whole world. Did you know even if God knew you would not receive Him, He would still have to make provision for you to be able to receive Him in spite of you not receiving Him? Why? He can't judge you apart from your choosing to not be with Him. He still had to provide that way. Do you guys got this? And so Romans chapter 3 tells us very clearly, that's why redemption had to be made for you. While you were yet a sinner. Then he comes in, he makes a statement about Adam. I used to think, how in the world could Adam fall from God? Surely, God would have let him know that if he would do that, where he'd end up. Well, back in Genesis chapter 2, God told him. Matter of fact, God did clearly acknowledge to Adam, don't do that. That's bad, isn't it? How many of you ever told your kids not to do something and they obeyed you totally? You did, Jack, you would have to raise your hand. Well, your kids, they're turning out pretty good, so it can't be by law. But how many of you know, just because you know your kids wouldn't receive it, how many of you know that it wouldn't prevent you to tell them? Unless you're an idiot. And there isn't one idiot in this place. I look at all your faces, pure intelligence. A good confession. I heard that. Well, let me tell you something. It says, through one man's disobedience. You know, that's a very interesting Greek word. Comes off of the one back there. You know what that word disobedience literally means? A failure to pay attention when God speaks. How many of us have gone to a sermon, service, to listen to a sermon, and spaced out about our Thanksgiving turkey? Well, let's do Christmas turkey. I wish you'd get this sermon over so I can get home. I didn't want to be here in the first place. See, I got relatives coming over bringing me gifts. I wonder what's in them. And I'm sitting here. If you would just realize that your whole life hinges on what you hear. That'd be like your boss giving you instructions. You space out on him, and then when you go and you create a catastrophe, he'll come back and say, why didn't you pay attention to what I said? Oh, I didn't know you said it. And then we want him to be at peace. Well, he's responsible for how I hear. I guarantee you, my boss, he'll make sure I hear next time. He'll jab me with a screwdriver or hit me on the head with a mallet and say, are you paying attention to me? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good. Now get this real clear. Some people, you have to talk to them that way. Right? Well, that's what Adam did. He heard what God said. But guess what? When Adam built the woman and brought the woman to Adam, Adam was therefore diversified from God. Hubba, bubba, bubba. So God said, so proud. Take a look at this baby I built for you. And Adam goes, whew, hot flashes. Then when the enemy comes in to bring a temptation upon the family, what did Adam do? He stood by and didn't pay any attention whatsoever when God speaks. Now, are you ready for this? This word for disobedience is a voice that speaks to you at the time of the temptation, not only before, but during and after. How many of you heard God? Then in the temptation, you still heard God? But you came out on the other end, the loser? What happened during the temptation? God spoke. You just wasn't interested. That was his disobedience. Didn't want to hear it. Why? Well, it isn't something that I favor to hear. Why? Are you ready? God gave him some information of what could happen, future tense. But God was going to cover him during the temptation in hopes that the future tense would not be performed. So he spoke to him during the temptation, and he fell to it anyway. And so therefore the outcome came from what God had told him would come, but he didn't pay attention to what the instruction was in between. Well, why did Adam fall? Well, the reason many of us fall when God speaks. But don't ever tell me that God didn't warn you ahead of time, speak to you in conviction during the temptation, and if you fall for it, you was not aware of the outcome. Now, Satan, do you know why he's so subtle in what he does? Because he knows God speaks before the believer commits it. He knows that God will speak during the temptation for you to fall. And, are you ready? So that you would inherit the outcome, and he could blame it on God. Because he's subtle. He has a way of getting into your mind and make you so subtle to what is God is saying that you do inherit the cursing rather than the blessing on the outcome of it through his subtlety. That means God moves into your life so subtle that you don't even recognize it until the outcome. But you know what I love about my redemption? That even the outcome, we can still escape. We can still come out of that thing. Because redemption has provided not only something future tense for us, but present tense and past tense. Because salvation is in the perfect tense. The perfect tense means something that happened in the past, and the results are continuing to the present, and they'll end up in the future. Did you guys get something here today? That's how important Jesus had to come, because mankind is not capable of understanding what it means to live eternally. We sing the Christmas songs, you know. We sang one here that just said, he came to save us from death. Well, what death was he referring to? Couldn't be talking about physical death. Talking about spiritual death. There is going to be a time when those who reject Jesus will live eternally without him. And there are those who will live eternally with him. And I'm one of them with him, guys. How about you guys? I'm going to live eternally with Jesus. And I thank God for Jesus coming. And I thank God for Jesus dying for all of mankind. And that included me. Whether I received him or not, I know that if I have to stand in judgment, it's not because he didn't provide it for me. Well, what about those who have never heard the gospel? I'm glad you asked. Romans chapter 1 says that even creation itself declares the Godhead, and they are without excuse. But what if they've never heard? He says, then they see. Somebody says, well, what if they never saw? You see more blind than you do with eyes, whether you realize it or not. There is no one that's going to be without excuse. No one can say, well, I never heard the gospel. You know what that means? You're looking for an excuse because the invisible things of God are plainly seen in creation itself. Glory to God. Everybody stand up. We're going to close. Now the reason I have to quit is because some of you might have put your turkey setting on 12 or 11. Dear Heavenly Father, we're closing this service right now, and we ask one thing, Father, that this morning, if there be anybody that is here that has known about you. It's heard about you, but never had the opportunity to get to know you. They probably didn't even understand the message I preached this morning. But maybe they have an inner witness that it is truth, whether they understand it or not. That, Father, as they're here today, and there's, your Spirit has worked on their heart in such a way that they would like to receive you and get to know you, then we want to make that provision for them. Because that's, after all, that's what Christmas is all about, is our Redeemer came to save us from Satan's power. And so today, if you're here this morning, and you can say, Pastor, I've known about Christianity, known about Jesus, but I don't know Him personally. I've never been born again. I've never received Him as my personal Savior. Never really had a desire to. Matter of fact, I don't know whether it's the thing to do now or not. But you know something? I implore you that with everything that's in you, it's okay to step out and take a chance. It's okay to step out in obedience and put a trust in something that you don't understand when it comes to salvation. Because in the end, you will be blessed. Because there's many of us in this auditorium that knows what redemption is all about. It's a blessing, not a curse. It's a beginning, not an end. And so today, I'm going to do this. When I dismiss the service, not to embarrass anyone, when I dismiss this service, and you would like to come up here and receive Jesus as your personal Savior, I'm going to stay right up here and just be ready to do that for you, lead you on into the kingdom of God. And if there are many of you here that have been out of fellowship with the Lord for quite a while, and God spoke to your heart to renew your fellowship with Him, then we would like you to come forward also at the end of the service. We would love to pray with you. You know, do something different for your life. Give yourself the gift that is free, and it's in the person of Jesus Christ. And your life will change. I guarantee it. Father, I thank you for this wonderful people that have come here today. And Father, may they have a wonderful Christmas. Father, may they have the best Christmas they ever had. Father, we love you so much for Jesus. He came and exposed the heart of you, Father. You are my Father, my Daddy. You're not a God anymore to me. You're my Father, a Daddy. And with that, you're dismissed. God bless you all. Merry Christmas from Sue and I. Hallelujah.